Educating for Character. How our schools can teach respect and responsibility. Author, Thomas Lacona. Should the schools teach values? If you put that question to a group of people, it was sure to start an argument. If anyone said yes, schools should teach their children values, somebody else would immediately retort, whose values? In a society in which people hold different values, it seemed impossible to get agreement on which ones should be taught in our public schools. Pluralism produced paralysis. Schools, for the most part, ended up trying to stay officially neutral on the subject of values. Schools cannot be ethical bystanders at a time when our societies are in deep moral trouble. Rather, schools must do what they can to contribute to the character of the young and the moral health of the nations. What values should schools teach? Values are of two kinds, moral and non-moral. Moral values such as honesty, responsibility, and fairness carry obligation. We feel obligated to keep a promise, pay our bills, care for our children, and be fair in our dealings with others. Moral values tell us what we ought to do. We must abide by them, even when we'd rather not. Non-moral values carry no such obligation. They express what we want or like to do. For example, you may personally value reading a good novel, but you are not obliged to do so. Moral values can be further broken down into two categories, universal and non-universal. Universal moral values, such as treating all people justly and respecting their lives, liberty, and equality, bind all persons everywhere because they affirm our fundamental human worth and dignity. We have a right and even a duty to insist that all people behave in accordance with these universal moral values. Non-universal moral values, by contrast, do not carry universal moral obligation. These are values, such as duties specific to one's religion, for example, worshipping or fasting, toward which an individual may feel a serious personal obligation, but may not impose these personally felt obligations on others. The core of morality, respect and responsibility. The natural moral law defining the public school's moral agenda can be expressed in terms of two great values, respect and responsibility. These values constitute the core of a universal public morality. They have objective, demonstrable, worth, in that they promote the good of the individual and the good of the whole community. These values of respect and responsibility are necessary for healthy personal development, caring interpersonal relationships, a humane and democratic society, a just and peaceful world. Respect and responsibility are the R's that schools not only may, but also must teach if they are to develop ethically literate persons who can take their place as responsible citizens of society. What are the concrete moral meanings of these foundational values? Respect. Respect means showing regard for the worth of someone or something. It takes three major forms: respect for oneself, respect for other people, and respect for all forms of life and the environment that sustains them. Responsibility. Responsibility is an extension of respect. If we respect other people, we value them. If we value them, we feel a measure of responsibility for their welfare. Responsibility literally means an ability to respond. It means orienting towards others, paying attention to them, actively responding to their needs. Responsibility emphasizes our positive obligations to take care of each other. Respect, by comparison, emphasizes our negative obligations. It tells us the most part what not to do. This is sometimes called the prohibitive morality. Classroom strategies for teaching respect and responsibility. A. The class meeting. A class meeting is a meeting of the whole class, emphasizing interactive discussion among class members. It is led by the teacher, student, or the teacher and student together. This meeting is to be conducted in a circle whenever possible to allow eye contact among participants and should be held at irregularly scheduled times. For example, the first thing every morning, every Wednesday after recess, and in the response to special needs. The duration of the meeting, usually 10 to 30 minutes long, is set by the age of the students, the complexity of the topic, and the interest level during the meeting. The character development goals of the class meeting are to 1. Improve through regular, face-to-face communication. Students' ability to listen respectfully to others and understand their perspectives. 2. Provide a forum where students' thoughts are valued and where they can gain self-esteem that comes from learning to express themselves in a group. 3. Foster all three parts of character, habits of moral judgment, feeling, and behavior, through the continuing challenge of putting respect and responsibility into practice in everyday classroom life. 4. Create a moral community as a support structure to nurture and hold in place the qualities of good character that students are developing. 5. Develop the attitudes and skills needed to take part in democratic group decision-making and become participating citizens of democracy. B. Encouraging moral reflection. Without ethical training, Many teachers tend to treat moral judgment as if it were simply a matter of personal opinion. That is the mistake of moral relativism, an error that has deep roots in contemporary culture. Most students, unfortunately, are all too ready to believe that there are no right or wrong answers when it comes to morality. The implication of that belief is far-reaching. Nothing is objectively right or wrong. Moral means what's right for me. Such thinking fails to grasp a fundamental moral truth. They are rationally grounded, non-relative, objectively worthwhile moral values, respect for human life, liberty, the inherent value of every individual person, and the consequent responsibility to care for each other and carry out our basic obligations. These objectively worthwhile values demand that we treat as morally wrong any action by any individual, group, or state that violates these basic moral values. C. Teaching children to solve conflicts. The ultimate goal of conflict training is to enable students to solve their conflicts without outside intervention. A teacher can help children develop that problem-solving competence by structuring situations where they have to make more of the responsibility for solving the conflict. The six elements of a positive moral culture in school. How can a school create a positive moral culture? Six elements are important. 1. Moral and academic leadership from the principal. 2. School-wide discipline that models, promotes, and upholds the school's values in all school environments. 3. A school-wide sense of community. 4. Student government that involves students in democratic self-government and fosters the feeling that is, this is our school, and we're responsible for making it the best school it can be. 5. A moral atmosphere of mutual respect, fairness, and cooperation that pervades all relationships, those among the adults in the school, as well as those between the adults and students. 6. Elevating the importance of morality by spending school time on moral concerns, how schools, parents, and communities can work together. In the face of a deteriorating social fabric, schools know they must do something to try to teach children good values. To take on that task, however, they need two things: hope that it can be done, and the feeling that they won't be doing it alone. Hope that it can be done comes from examples of schools that have made a deliberate effort to teach values and are seeing results. The feeling that the school won't have to do this alone comes from another encouraging trend: schools and families working together to educate a moral child. Beyond schools and families, however, the whole community has a stake in the character development of the young, and hence, it is important for a school undertaking values education to involve more than just parents.